At Atlas Copco Group, we strive to be the most attractive industrial tech company in our segments and target markets. Our strong culture of innovation is a result of having great people on board, committed and encouraged to grow and reach their full potential. With the belief that passionate people make the difference, the People Podcast is one channel where we get to explore and deep dive into topics within people and culture. For those of you who listened to our previous episodes, welcome back. We release new episodes on a quarterly basis, and the program today is our 16th release. I'm Cecilia Sandberg, head of HR for the Atlas Copco Group, and with me I have Dorna Eriksson Shafi, VP Talent and Learning for the group. Our topic for today will be understanding and building psychological safety in the workplace. We will explore what psychological safety is, why it matters, and how we can all contribute to building trust-based environments for the teams we work in. So please join us. Dorna, most welcome.
Thank you, Cecilia. It's great to be here and discuss something as fundamental to culture as psychological safety. It's obviously a strategic priority and also a topic that we have referred to in several of our previous podcast episodes that we're now get a chance to really deep dive into.
Oh, it's exciting. So the concept of psychological safety has gained a lot of traction in organizations. I think especially following the groundbreaking work of Professor Amy Edmondson, who has extensively researched and written about this topic. Should we perhaps start by defining what psychological safety means in the context of the workplace?
Absolutely. So psychological safety is essentially about creating a team climate characterized by interpersonal trust and mutual respect, grounded in the belief that one will not be punished or humiliated for speaking up with ideas, questions, concerns, or mistakes.
I think that's a very clear definition and one that really stresses the importance of being able to show up at work, being yourself. So sort of like bringing your true self to work every day without fear of negative consequences to your self-image, status, or to your career. So what does research say about the impact this has on performance and innovation, Dorna?
Well, in a rapidly changing world, continuous product and process innovation are, of course, necessary elements of sustainable organizational performance. However, the stress of uncertainty reduces individual creativity and also diminishes the drive to explore and challenge existing norms. So innovation tends to decline when external risk increases. And we see many of those risks surrounding us today. So geopolitical instability and unpredictable markets, to name two. And focusing on psychological safety internally then helps counter that tendency. So embracing what-if type of questions fosters a culture of curiosity for generating possible solutions rather than the fear of failure.
I fully agree. In an environment where people feel safe to speak up, air concerns, and admit mistakes, teams are not just more productive, but also more curious and proactive because they are not afraid to challenge norms and bring unique perspectives to the table. This reminds me of the well-known study on team performance made by Google that found that the highest performing teams have one thing in common, and that is indeed psychologically safe workplaces.
Exactly. And on an individual level, this translates into your ability to stretch yourself and others. And at the same time, actually, that strengthens the team's ability to adapt and stay resilient.
It sounds like fostering psychological safety not only benefits individuals and teams, but the entire organization, right? I think we can agree to that. Let's double click on the relationship between psychological safety and innovation, which I find very interesting, as innovation is, of course, one of our core values here at Atlas Copco Group.
Yes, and a relationship that has been proven in many research studies with the conclusion that you won't hear ideas unless people feel safe enough to say them out loud or write them down. So when we suggest ideas, we're making ourselves vulnerable because we're opening up the idea for critique. And that idea is part of us. It came from our own mind, right? So if an idea is then shot down by a psychologically unsafe workplace, it can be hard to take that hit, which means people with ideas will stay silent. So increasing psychological safety then increases the likelihood of successful innovation through intelligent risk-taking and also lower fear of failure, resulting in quicker time to market and, of course, also improved products and services.
Well put, Dorna. I like that. So we now established that we definitely want to work in a psychologically safe workplace.
Mm.
Well, what can you as a manager or a team leader do to help to create one? Should we maybe elaborate on that one as well?
Sure. I mean, it does indeed start with leadership, but it does not stop there. We all have a responsibility to build and nurture that culture. And I personally believe it starts with leaders role modeling openness and humility. This means engaging in candid discussions where they feel comfortable admitting their own mistakes and lessons learned, and encouraging others to share their ideas and concerns without the fear of negative consequences. I think this sets the stage that it's okay and it's encouraged for team members to do the same.
Yes. Setting the scene for desired behavior in others by role modeling it yourself is indeed a powerful practice that we should all do. And Amy Edmondson also talks about the concept of leaders as inclusive conductors, those who invite others into conversation and make it safe to contribute. One practical approach of this that I have seen in our own operation is when a leader has scheduled regular team reflections or retrospectives, whether it be on the shop floor or the office, where everyone is encouraged to speak up about what's working and what isn't. This process really helps nurture a culture where feedback is viewed as a cornerstone for improvement rather than criticism of individual performance, and very well aligns with one of our core beliefs. There is always a better way, right?
Yes, and I think that's a great example. So incorporating scenarios that involve handling project setbacks or unexpected outcomes will allow teams to practice how to respond in ways that emphasize learning and curiosity rather than blame. And this helps in building a resilient organization where setbacks are seen as opportunities to grow. So considering the global nature of our operations, how do we ensure that these principles are adapted and respected across different cultures? What are your reflections here?
I think that's a great question. I mean, cultural sensitivity is key in our global context. We work across diverse cultures where norms around authority and communication naturally differ. Our Atlas Copco Group values and cultural beliefs are tailored to respect these differences while promoting consistent standards of desired behaviors that underpin psychological safety. I see these as trust, integrity, and inclusion.
Yeah, I fully agree. And respecting cultural nuances while upholding our core values is, of course, an important balance.
Indeed. And that takes us to the next question, Dorna. How do we know when our workplace is becoming psychologically safe? Do we have some research to share in this regard?
We do indeed. So according to Dr. Timothy Clark, also author of the Four Stages of Psychological Safety, defining the path to inclusion and innovation, employees have to progress through four stages before they feel free to make valuable contributions and also challenge the status quo. It all starts with a sense of belonging. We need to feel accepted before we're able to contribute fully in ways that improve our organizations. The second stage is all about learning and feedback, and that is if you feel safe to ask questions, give and receive feedback, experiment, and also make mistakes as you learn. In stage three, then, the focus is on whether you feel safe to use your skills to make a meaningful contribution. And the final stage talks to the need of making things better and whether you feel safe to speak up and challenge the status quo when you think there is an opportunity to change or improve.
I think those are great insights. And if you're a leader, you have got to nurture and promote psychological safety to help employees move through those four stages and reach a place where they feel comfortable with interpersonal risk-taking and speaking up. Doing so will foster a climate of respect, helping employees to collaborate and feel safe to take risks, which, as we concluded earlier, results in more effective innovation.
Indeed. So given the many benefits of psychological safety, why might it be a challenge to make it a strategic priority within organizations? What are your thoughts here?
Well, I think psychological safety demands modes of decision making that are different from what many leaders are used to. I think it requires leadership attributes like accessibility, humility, and empathy. One of the most valuable actions leaders in resilient organizations take is to set their personal agendas aside. Many leaders are fearful of feedback that may leave them vulnerable to criticism, but transparent decision-making goes beyond seeing only what you want to see. Input that contradicts our subjective perceptions can be hard to hear, but often provides valuable signals for course correction.
Yes, so true. And important to remember is that psychological safety does not happen automatically, because our brains are hardwired to keep us safe, as our default mode is to presume some level of threat in most environments. We tend to stay quiet in a workplace form of freeze from the flight-freeze reaction unless we know we can safely speak up with concerns or fresh ideas.
Indeed. So now comes the task of measuring psychological safety. You have to find out if your actions and behaviors are actually working, right? I believe the challenge here is to effectively gather data regarding psychological safety and share the results in a way that allows teams and organizations to make decisions on how to improve their environment.
Yes. And luckily, some of that hard work has already been done for us here. So using the 7-question survey developed by Amy Edmondson and also widely regarded as the gold standard to measure psychological safety, you can receive data on overall psychological safety within your team. The 7 questions to ask include, if someone makes a mistake on your team, is it often held against them? Are members of your team able to bring up problems and tough issues? Is it safe to take a risk on your team? Start by reflecting on these questions individually and then as a team. And as a leader, you need to create a safe space to discuss these reflections and then together identify where you as a team are strong and where the team has opportunities to improve.
Oh, very hands-on and practical recommendation. So as we wrap up, Dorna, what would be your key message to our listeners on things we can all do to contribute to a psychologically safe workplace?
Yes, well, my key message would be to build trust by showing trust. So aligning your actions with your words and as a leader, showing your own vulnerabilities first. So reframe and celebrate mistakes as learning opportunities and encourage each other to generate and share ideas in the team, which don't always need to be polished and perfect. I would challenge the old saying, a first time right, as that creates a culture of fear and goes against the notion of encouraging curiosity and exploration, which are key foundations for innovation.
I fully agree. So maybe instead of saying first time right, maybe we could try good enough, safe to try.
Love that. And welcome disagreement without judgment. So you could, for example, assign and rotate the role of a challenger at team meetings and help each other stretch, see things you have not seen before.
Great insights. Be curious and encourage others to be curious. This creates a team culture built on psychological safety. Whether you're a leader or a team member, your approach to communication can and will open the door for others to contribute at their best. So thank you so much for joining me today, Dorna.
Always a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in to another episode of our People Podcast. We hope today's episode inspires you to foster a team environment where everyone feels safe to express themselves and challenge each other. Remember, psychological safety is the foundation for a thriving and high-performing workplace, and we all play a role in creating that for each other.